really got in seeking the Lord, he began to minister to me about the testing of our faith. And I started thinking about it, and a lot of challenges over the last two or three years, really, you know, to the body of Christ and everything. And so I'm going to be, if I was going to title the sermon tonight, it would be Testing of Our Faith. And how many knows that 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight? You know, and we learn through the scriptures. How many knows our faith will be tried at times, from time to time? It'll be tested from time to time, you know, just because of the world. And I believe even the Lord allows us, you know, to go through things. You know, I'm not talking about ungodly things. I'm talking about hardships and different things, you know, allows us to where we can utilize the faith that he's given us. Praise God. But the testing of our faith develops maturity, whether it's in the marriage or ministry or, you know, and it'll cause the character of God, you know, to be manifest in our life, and that's what we want. Testing helps believers get things established in the Lord if we yield the right way. Yielding the right way in test is critical to growing and maturing. And one thing that I've noted, I was telling the guy today, he was talking about he had learned more in 6 months. He's a young Christian, you know, where he's going to church than he had the whole time that he'd been a Christian. You know, he'd learned more about faith and different things like that. And I said, well, you know, I said, what I've determined over the course of 20-something years I've been in ministry and serving the Lord, that the biggest challenge that I see people not receiving from the Lord, receiving the things of God, is their ability to believe. You know, and the Bible says all things are possible to those that believe, those that have faith, those that have confidence. You know, and it's not just when things are going good. We utilize faith when tests comes our way, you know. Testing in our workplace. You know, I own my own business. I have them all the time, you know. Different tests all the time. But my confidence has to be fixed, trusting in the Lord that he works all things together for the good. All things work together for the good, Romans 8:28. Whether it's in the marriage, and what that is, when faith is tested and we turn to the Word, you know, Jesus even quoted it in Matthew 4:4. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall man live. And that what that means to me is every situation that I get into, good or bad, utilize the Word. You know, when Jesus was led up into the wilderness by Satan, he used the Word of God. And the Bible says that Satan left him, but to return to a more opportune time. So there's going to be testing of our faith in natural things. There's going to be, physical bodies are going to be, there's going to be tests with our kids, with our grandkids. The only way to get out of things coming into our life and challenging us is to get out of here. Because we have an adversary. You know, and the Bible says that he's roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. But his power is only suggestion. I mean, he'll give you a thought, things are never going to get better, things are just bad. You know, the church is going, I heard somebody stood up in church one time, they said, believe the church is just going to hell in a handbasket. Brad jumps up and he said, no, it's not. You know, that's his perception. Because of what he was perceiving, that people wasn't going to church, they wasn't following the Lord, you know, they wouldn't get involved, and all that. Well, see, that's walking by the natural, look, in the natural, you know. And he stands up and he says, no, it's not either. It's a glorious church. He's come back after he turned to Scripture then. And when I seen him do that, you know, I thought, man, that could have been a bad seed to me. Somebody saying that, yes, it does look bad at times at church. See, we're going to be tested in that, you know. Well, I was thinking about, you know, there's times that, I mean, like tonight, a lot of them call that can't be here in ministry, and that changes everything up, you know. And so, but I've done been through some of those trials, you know, and got it settled that God is God with or without people, you know. And us doing the will of God, whether you're pastoring or, you know, at home or whatever, staying in the right spirit is the biggest part of keeping faith and maintaining faith and walking in faith. And, you know, I've noticed over the last couple of years, you know, with the COVID thing and people are angry. They're angry, the shutdowns, the government, and these things are their heart and on their mind, you know. But why? Because it came into their lives and try to maneuver, especially the church, try to maneuver them away from the things of God and the power of God, you know. They were challenged in the Bible that way, the shutdowns and all of that. And just like I had to make up my mind, I will never shut down again. And I got that fixed and settled and knew, and I'm telling you this for a reason, because the Bible says if God be for us, who can be against us? So I had to, that challenge in my life, make up my heart and mind, I'm called to pastor, and I'm going to pastor, and I'm going to assemble. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner some are, as much more as we say the day approaching, encourage one another to good works, talking about to assembling, to, you know, being in there, but the love walk, you know. The Bible says that faith works by love, you know. And the Lord began to minister to me like the administration we've got now. I'm not really into politics, but this affects our lives and the church and our being and our existing and our vision if we let it. Like one time a president was in there and turning over everything that was costing small businesses. I was being taxed here and taxed there and things happening, you know, and I wanted to get angry and I wanted to, you know, and the Lord spoke to me through the word and he said, pray for those that are in authority. Pray for your leaders. And I didn't really want to do that. But see, now when I started doing that, then that began to bring freedom to me because now I'm in obedience to the Lord and then my faith is working. Then I felt like the government didn't make me and the government can't break me. You know, and that caused me to rise up when my faith was being tested in that. And I'm just telling you that story. It might not be that, but whatever it is to you, you know, you take that challenge and you take the word of God just like Jesus did. And I mean, when he was offered things, tempted, you know, he said, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of this. He came back with the word of God. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. You know, he'd come back with that. Well, see, that kept Jesus in the arena of faith, just like it keeps us in the arena of faith. Give me that James, Beth, please. I almost called you Zach. You don't look like it, though. But James here, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. And you know what? I was thinking about it today. I was thinking about the young folk, and it's always been, you know, but they have great challenges in school. You know, they have challenges in school of fitting in, you know, wanting to be accepted and different things of that nature. You know, a lot of different things that we wouldn't even think that they face in them arenas, you know. And I mean, you know, thinking about their future when they're 15, 16, 17 years old, college coming up, fixing to, you know, get out. You know, well, the enemy comes. He begins to come, especially to the Christians, you know, the young ones to start departing from the Lord. Because the thing about it is your future and my future is in the Lord. The Bible says that our life is hid in God through Jesus. You know, our future already, how many knows that the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, he said, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans of good and not evil, that you would have hope for your future. Well, that tells me that God already went into your and my future and laid out a plan for us and then brought us the Holy Spirit to get born again and the Word of God to begin to follow him and his leading so that he leads us into that very life. I was telling that guy today I got stirred up. We did. Somebody we went to had about a 3-hour drive, and we talked about the Lord the whole time. Well, I got stirred up, you know, I looked at him and I said, man, you're bringing all these scriptures up, and it felt good, Johnny. Because, I was talking about prosperity, you know, prospering into my marriage, prospering, you know, and all of the challenges that come. And I would tell him examples and stuff. And I told him, I said, see, Jesus took on himself poverty that I might be made rich. He was separated from God so that I could be united with God. I said, he gave it all up so that we could have it all, you know, spiritual wealth. And I started telling him, I said, you know, you got to watch out here in the world and people experience and what they don't experience. You know, people will tell you stuff that they believe based on what they've experienced. I said, for an example, I said, you know, I said, right after I started telling people that I felt like God had called me to preach, I said, and God confirmed it to me that very morning in church that the guy didn't even know me, you know. But anyways, I told him, I said, the very first thing when I started telling people, just excited, you know, because people would say, you know, you need to announce your calling, some denomination. You need to announce your calling, you know. Let everybody know you're called. So I thought that's the way you do it, you know. Just go around, and everybody I run into, God's called me to preach, man. Woo, yeah. I was excited. And, you know, I started getting response. One preacher, he told me, standing in several preachers, and he told me, he said, well, you know, you just signed up for poverty. And I said, what's that mean? And I'm telling him. I said, what does that mean? He said, well, you know, he said, you don't get very good offerings at church. He said, people tight with their money. He's a preacher, you know. They tight with their money. He said, so, you know, don't expect to ever have any money. You know, you're supposed to just be rich in God and all that, you know. And I left there feeling discouraged. You know why? Because it was coming from a wrong spirit that didn't bear witness with my spirit. But now in my mind, I'm thinking, and then I thought, oh, well, Lord, if that's really the way it is, well, then that's just the way. I'm telling him the story. I said, but you know, the more that I read that Bible, the more that I got in that Bible and I began to read that Bible, I said, I begin to realize, just like the disciples, Jesus told them to go and don't take no purse, no cloak. And then I don't know how long later, but a few chapters later, could have been month, two, three, however long it was, he asked them, have you lacked anything? And they said, Lord, we lack nothing. And so I began to realize, you know, that those seeds were coming really quick to me as a young Christian, you know, to get me set on a course of believing that I won't never have anything, that I can't have a nice house. I can't have the things that I was dreaming for without God that I couldn't get. I just couldn't make it. Just like Travis's future, you know, I mean, when he's up there 16, 17 years old, it was a concern of mine, you know, am I going to be able to pay for him to go to college and all of that stuff, because it takes a lot. And Teresa was set out wanting him to go to college, and I mean, she worked with him and had him in advanced classes. He was doing 12th grade work and the 10th grade, and I mean, he was just, you know, advanced. And all of y'all were smart. Travis was a Christian, so I was believing God that he could be super in his classes, if he would, you know, apply himself and study. And how many know God anoints that? You don't have to quote scriptures. You know, well, then go on, you know. And I had to roll that over on the Lord. Well, see, that testing of my faith came at that moment of time, you know, and fear tried to come in. How many knows that God has not given us a spirit of fear? That's timidity. The word fear means to be timid, to be cowardly, one translation, you know, not to be bold. Well, Proverbs 28:1 says that the evil men run when nobody pursues them, but the righteous are what? As bold as a lion. We're bold. So anyways, I give that Lord, and I said, Lord, I thank you, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Did I put my son's future? Well, now that's how you do it. See, the testing was there. And so victory, only way victory is going to come is if I take that testing and I turn it over to the Lord. I cast it over on the Lord. Then I begin to release my faith that my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so I did that, and peace came. Peace came. I didn't know in my mind how it was going to happen. Well, to make a long story short, Travis gets on up and he feels like God wants him in to work for me. You know, that blows college. And so I talked to Teresa, you know, it wasn't really what she wanted. It's what I wanted. I never did voice that. I believed God when he was 5 years old, laid hands on him, and I said, God, I thank you for this business that you put me in, Lord. And if it's your will, I want my son. I want him working for me, but not my will, but yours. And I never told him. I never told him, I want you to work for me, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And I had to let Travis find out in his own heart, and you must find out in your own heart, the will of God for you. It's not really hard to find the will of God. It's not really hard. Jesus said, if you will seek me, you will find me. That means if you will cast that over on the Lord and you will say, God, I really don't know what my future is, God, but I want to know what my future is in you. Y'all that are young, do that. And I mean, God will put things in place when the time comes that he's already got planned for you. Well, you know what? Time came and it kind of broke Teresa's heart and everything, you know. But we talked about it and we decided to let him go and get his GED and come on over here and work. We wasn't going to let him go without the GED. So don't ever drop out. Be successful. If God's leading you in a path, go get all your stuff. Beth didn't have her GED, and we encouraged her. And I mean, you know, to pick that thing up after she got married. And they got married, and we encouraged her, and we kind of helped her a little. And she went on to college and got her GED. Now she's smarter than Travis. Will she ever need it? I don't know. But you know, that I thought we got to help them to advance as much as we can, you know, in following the Lord. Well, now Travis has been in, he's got partially his own business and everything concerning garage doors, and he's been in it for about 16, 17 years now. And, you know, he even went through challenges when we got slow and everything, and he went to Mom, and he said, I think I'm going to go to work at Walmart at night, you know, until things gets better. And we determined to help him. Is that the will of God? Because I said, I told Teresa, I said, he's not going to work for me in the daytime, work at Walmart at night, because he's going to work all night and he's not going to be alert and he's going to be tired, and that's not going to happen. I said, so he'd just go to Wally World. But the best thing is find the will. Is God saying that? Well, see, the testing was there, Johnny, and it was causing him to try to figure out how to do that, how to make money or whatever, you know. But we helped him to get in there and say, what is God saying? But you know what? I'd already been through the testing grounds. See, the testing grounds that you're in right now will promote you, and they'll help you in the next testing season you come in. There's different seasons in the natural. You got spring, summer, winter, fall. You got seasons we go through. I believe God takes us through seasons. He took them out of the wilderness. He delivered them out of the wilderness. And I imagine that was a happy bunch, you know. They've been in slavery down there. If you're not born again, you're enslaved to sin. I mean, you have a sin nature. I mean, you're subject to the powers of darkness. I mean, you're subject to the thoughts and imaginations that he puts in your mind of being a nobody, going nowhere, going somewhere else, moving out from where you are with your parents so that you can be free. You know, you're already free. Jesus said, those whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Travis, I mean, his grandma, my mom, told him, well, when you get 16 or whatever it was, you can just come live with me, you know. Planted that in his mind. She didn't mean no ill will, but that set a course in his mind of getting out of there, and he'd be over to Mama's. He loved Mama. They had a good relationship, you know, and everything. And then when he brought that up, that seed got in there. So when he brought that up, I just told him, I said, well, you're going to pay me. You're going to pay me if you live at Mama's. You know, I helped Mama out over there. And then I told him, I said, Lord, what do I do about this? He said, just tell him that he's already free and Satan's trying to bind him up. And so I went to him, see, now seeking the Lord in that. The test was there. My faith in the Lord was there. And when you're in faith, you're more tuned in to the Holy Spirit. That'll tell you things. He'll give you wisdom. Y'all young folk, you seek the Lord, fast, pray, read your Bible. And I'm telling you, when the enemy comes to you to try to trip you up, you'll know it. You'll just be like, nah, I I'm not going that route. I'm not going that road. I'm not hanging with them. You know, I'm not going to, I don't hang around negative people. It's not that I dislike negative people or anything. It's just that I don't got time to let my vision be blurred by a bunch of garbage, by a bunch of complaining, by a bunch of, you know, that's one of the things he says here. He says, the test of your faith work is patience. The word patience means endurance. It works endurance. When we're tested in our faith, it causes us to be more stable if we yield the right way and we make the right choices, you know. Just like Travis today, he couldn't work nowhere, I don't think, on the planet to make the money that he makes, as good as money most of the time as he makes. I just don't believe he could. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, and me too. I've been blessed for 20-something years in the will of God. It's not really that I own my own business. That's not where it's at. The thing is, wherever you're at, promotion comes from the Lord. Blessing comes from the Lord. I mean, he causes us, when we're walking with the Lord, he causes people to take notice that can prosper us, that can bless us, hallelujah, that can help us. I mean, just like my barn blew down, you know, and I just don't ask for help, you know what I mean? I don't, because everybody works, you know, and everything, and I won't intrude on their off time, you know. That's just loving people to me. That's the way I do it, you know. I just won't do it, you know. And so, but I've got several people right now, they're on me to go over there and get it started. I mean, they're, every time I see them, when are you going to start that? We want to come help you, and we don't even want no money or nothing, you know. And I'm like, well, I got to get time to get the stuff, and then I'll let y'all know, you know. And one of them said, well, I'm going to bring my tractor with the post diggers. We'll hook another tractor up with post diggers. He said, and we'll dig all the posts at one time. He said, we can set all the posts in one day. And I'm like, well, praise God. Well, see what I'm saying? Now, whenever the barn blew down, I could say, boy, it took me 2 years to build that barn. I don't know. One thing happens, it's another. See, that's not endurance. But I've been there. I've been in there down yonder where I would kind of start complaining, and then you start not feeling good on the inside, and it steals your joy, steals your peace. It gets your faith, you know, that your faith is what got you. And so I just stood up and I said, bless God, I'll build back better. I'll just build back better. See, that's what you got to do. You can't let life's challenges and setback. See, a setback is not necessarily a defeat. Things happen, that don't mean you're defeated. You're defeated when you quit. You're defeated when you get your eyes off the Lord. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus. You look into the Word, you look into Jesus. He said, Him and the Word are one. He said, and if you've seen the Father, he said, you've seen me. So don't let, y'all young folk, I'm not preaching to you, praise God. I mean, it just gives me great joy to see people. I hate poverty. I hate failure. And I'm not just talking to you. I'm believing God bigger now than I ever have, bless God. I've set my goals high. I'm going to be taking trips to Florida and different places here in a few years. I'm going. Well, I'm not going to sit down, you know, but you know what? I'm keeping my eyes on the goal now. The Bible says the hand of the diligent will bear rue. If you'll be diligent to stay on the Word, if you'll be diligent. And you know what? Don't be ashamed because you're a Christian and get around people that's talking negative and all that to come back with something. You're not trying to push it down their throat. But don't be ashamed of it. You know, I'm not ashamed that I'm blessed. Now people get upset with me all the time, you know, because I preach having a blessed life, you know. And I'm like, well, they would probably like me if I'd preach having a cursed life. Y'all just going to be cursed. Every one of y'all's cursed. Y'all cursed. Just expect curses. I mean, you might have a church fuller than we got right now if you preach that. But it'll be when poor Satan's going freezes over before I preach anything other than this blessed life. And I'm going after it, praise God, and I'm going to have it. And it's not really the things. It thrills me to be in expectation, believing God for something, for my marriage, for you know, business and all of that stuff, you know. Praise God. I mean, I've been believing God for to upgrade stuff till everything in my business nearly, I've upgraded it. I've upgraded my trucks, my trailer, my tools, scissor lifts. I mean, I've believed God and to where I've got them nice and all of that stuff, you know. Praise God. And you know what? I'm believing, I'm going to believe him for another scissor lift. I need another. See, where right where you're at, we've got to learn to be successful. Why do I need another one? Because I can work twice as fast with it. I can get home at 2 o'clock and don't have to work till 6. Right? See, wherever you're at, and y'all young folk, you know, don't just date anybody. If you're born again, if you ain't born again, you need to give your heart to Jesus. This Christianity thing is not for weak people. It's not for weak teenagers. It's for determined that you're going to have a good life, that you're going to follow Jesus, that you're not going to prison, you're not going to get trapped by the enemy. You're not going to get set back 13, 15 years because you've made wrong choices. If you're not born again, you're going to make a bunch of wrong choices. You know, I make mistakes all the time, but I got somebody to help me, to forgive me, and to straighten that thing back out and help me, praise God. You know, and so seeking the Lord is really, you know, it's not the favorable thing today in the young culture we live in. You know, you don't see as many as you have before, but it is the right thing. It is the right way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. See, when you're seeking the Lord, and I mean, y'all young folk ought to be fasting. You might be a young lady here, and you might be saying, well, I'm not really interested in boys. That will change. Or I'm not really interested in girls. I wasn't either till I met Teresa. And then I would drive across two counties for her. I mean, you know, and all of that stuff still would today. So those things changes. And I can tell you today that we lived 7 years without Jesus, and the best years have been while we serving Jesus. We couldn't keep our life together and stay together without Jesus, but then once we got born again, we've been together the whole time, 20-something years later, you know. Everything. And I believe most of it is because we believe God together. We stand on the Word together. But he said, my brethren, count it all joy. Listen, don't be all sad because you're in trials. Just don't allow sadness. Don't allow oppression. Your mind is your mind, you know. And I mean, y'all young ladies, you need to be telling the Lord now, God, I'm going to believe you when you do send somebody into my life, they already love you. They already go to church and serve you, Lord. They're believing for the same thing I am. They're believing that whoever comes into their life, and you know what? Sometimes, you know, the little hotties, they're not saved. Because us Christians, we eat out a lot. We go, you know, so we, but you got more matter. See, you're not looking at the outward. You're looking at the heart. You're looking at the heart of people, praise God. Somebody that serves the Lord has a good heart. They'll have a good heart. They may have not really, really good character yet, but if they love the Lord, they're being transformed on the inside. And if they get transformed and you get transformed, then y'all can live a life and dream together. But he says, count it all joy. So, I mean, just like today, I mean, I got a bunch of calls, you know, and most of my phone calls in my business are trouble. Everybody needs a door. Everybody needs it fixed. They want it yesterday, you know, a lot of different challenges and everything. And you know what? I felt like I'm not answering that phone again today. This is Wednesday, man. This is Wednesday. And so I had to start telling God, thank you for that phone, Lord. I praise God for that phone, Lord. Hallelujah. The pressure's on. You know, it's Wednesday, praise God, but I praise God for that phone. What was I doing? Counting it joy. I wasn't going to get all upset and depressed and all of that stuff, you know, because it says that the trying of your faith works endurance. You want to be able to stand up under pressures. You want to be able to stand up under them and be strong. Not be, whoa, why is this happening to me, God? God brought the children of Israel, and he showed me this so that I could see a picture of what God was going to do in my life when I'd been saved about a year. I just seen really the whole picture of that scenario of him bringing them out from under Pharaoh. And you're under satanic forces if you're not born again. I don't care if you're a good person, you've never stole nothing. Your father is the devil. The Bible says it. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you are against me. And you might think in your mind you would never be against God, but if you are not born again, you are today against God, according to the word. And I believe that. But I seen the picture where he went and brought them out, and brought them through the Red Sea, did a miracle, rolled back the Red Sea, crushed the enemy, and then brought them out into the wilderness, headed toward a land that he had told them about. Promises, good land, flowing with milk, and give them vision. He give them vision for their life where they was down there. They lived where they told them to live. They ate what they brought them and how much they brought them. They made bricks and toted rocks and built their fortresses over there, and all of that. But God wanted them out. He heard their cries, and he met Moses, in the desert running. Moses was running and chose a man that the Bible tells us he stuttered, he couldn't talk good and all of that. And God chose him. Why? Because he knew that Moses would go do what he said. And so he goes down there and he brings them out. And they get out in the wilderness. And then they begin to go through trials. They begin to go through different trials. Now they're free. They're free to make their own choices out there. But God wants them to make choices toward him. He's the same today. And that's what the Lord was showing me back there. He said, if you'll follow me, I'll bring you to where you want nothing. I'll bring your life to where you want nothing. That sounded good to me because I wanted everything. I didn't have a lot of anything, and that sounded pretty good to me back then. And I thought, all I got to do is follow Jesus. And then I'd go to church, and then I'd hear the pastor, just follow Jesus. And, the blessings on the road following Jesus. And, just the different things you'd preach, would add to what I was feeling in my spirit. But you know what? They got out there in the wilderness. They got out there, and God was getting water, sending them water out of the rock. He was raining manna down from heaven. He was taking care of them. They wasn't getting cold at night in the desert. They wasn't burning up because he sent a cloud. But you know what? The Bible says in Psalms 78 that they turned back in their hearts. They kept going toward the promised land. They kept going to church, kept going to school if they had school. I don't know, They kept going. Life, they kept going. It's not that they just sat down and quit following, but the Bible says that they turned back in their hearts and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Did you know no matter how old you are, how young you are, God has a plan, and he's maneuvering things in our lives when we're serving him and following him, even though we don't really know how or whatever. You ain't got to have everything figured out. All you've got to do is follow the one that's already planned everything and figured everything out for you. So they limited, and the Lord spoke to me, dropped it in my spirit. I didn't hear no audible voice, but I just in my spirit, I heard the Lord. And he said, you can limit me. He said, just like they limited me, they quit believing me. All they did is quit believing God. That's all they done. He said, with their unbelief. He said, with their unbelief. But you know what? They didn't have all of that unbelief when they come through and seen that ocean roll back. The ocean rolled back, and the Bible says they went across on dry land. I mean, that's amazing. Right there, that they walked on dry land. I mean, it wasn't 14 days later till it dried up. I mean, here the enemy coming and mountains, and they had nowhere to go. They was at the Red Sea, and God caused a wind and rolled back that Red Sea. And then they crossed on that Red Sea, and God closed the ocean. When the enemy got in the ocean, God closed the ocean and crushed their enemies. Then they begin to sing and give praises to God and begin to rejoice and, magnify God. And He had crushed their enemies. He had brought them out of slavery, brought them across that sea over to a free-looking place, I guess, and then killed the enemy, crushed the enemy. And the Lord told me, he said, whenever you give your heart to Jesus, he said, you crushed the enemy. He said, you put him under your feet. He said, you rendered him powerless in your life unless you want to yield the wrong way in things. Don't start complaining. I try never to complain. I'm not perfect in it, but I'm way better than I used to be. I try not to complain about garage door. Try not to complain about things not happening at church. Things don't always line up. I wanted praise and worship tonight. I wanted everybody to be here. I wanted everything to rock. I mean, do the praise and worship and all of that stuff, you know. But I'm not going to complain, and I'm not going to get in the wrong spirit, and I'm not going to get upset and all of that stuff. We're going to rock on. We're going to just do whatever we need to do and get under the anointing like we've got right now, praise God, and we're going to rock on. That's what we've got to do, whether it's church or at work or our future or, you know. And don't, you know, if you're at school or even at church, I try to make sure that we don't have cliques in this church. You know what I mean? I mean, like you know, that this little bunch is cliques here, and this bunch is over here and cliques here. And we I've tried to keep that spirit out of this church where we're unified, you know, where everybody feels like they fit in. Everybody feels like they're family, you know. And you can have that no matter where you're at. You don't have to feel that you've got to fit in. You fit in with God. You've been accepted by the Beloved, the Bible says. You're his children, praise God. And so, you know what, even in after I got born again, you know, I didn't do marijuana and party anymore on the weekend. And I was just, we lived for the weekend. And Teresa, you know, we'd party every weekend. And, you know, we got born again. And so all of my friends left. I'd ask them, man, you gonna go to church? Church? Nah, man, ain't you partying this weekend? I said, nah, man, you know, I got born again. I lost all my friends. But they really wasn't my friends. Now, it didn't turn them into my enemy. But see, we had nothing in common anymore. Because I'm over here under the anointing. I'm over here stepped over. The Bible says we're transferred over into the kingdom of light. We're pulled out of darkness over into light. You're born again. You're a new creation right then. You may not feel like one, or you may not understand how it is. But you know what? You just like a lot of in the ministry realm, I don't click with a lot of preachers. It's not because I'm so different, or they just, it's just I'm straight up Bible, you know. I mean, I'm just straight up. I don't like to say, well, you never know what God might do. Well, when I get into the presence of people, well, you never know what God might do. I say, well, the Bible tells us plainly. Well, that puts me an outcast. So what I'm saying there is I had to grow to where I didn't feel like I had to fit in any click anywhere, you know, so that I could be comfortable in the Lord. Well, the Bible says that we're not supposed to be men pleasers. We're not supposed to be men pleasers. We're not supposed to be people pleasers at school, our friends, if they're not pleased with us because we don't please them, or we don't, you know, click with them, or all of that. We can click all by ourselves. Because like Travis told me one time, he says, Dad, and this is where he was at, you know. I mean, it felt like to him that we just had his life restrained, and everybody's hitting out yonder to go drink their Budweisers and hang out and listen to the radio and his buddies and all of that. He's about 16, 17 years old. And so I just told him one day, we wouldn't let him hang out, you know, and all of that stuff, you know. So I just told him one day, I said, listen to me, son. I said, those people are not going where you're going. It wasn't that I felt like they were bad, or, I mean, you know, I know they need saved. I mean, I'll walk up in the party and get them saved if they'll just come on yield. Walked up to one party, and this girl come to church, and they all done plastered, you know, and I've done a watch night service, and so I just pulled up right up in the middle of the party, you know, and I get out, you know, and everybody gets their whiskey and hides it and all that. One girl sitting there, and she said, Brother Scotty, I'm this close to getting saved. She's drunk as a dog. Well, why am I saying that? Because our life is different. We have an anointing. We have something that when we follow the Lord and pursue the Lord, that people that know us want what we got, whether they say it or not. They really want that freedom that you walk in, you know, and they might. I've been criticized before, called Bible Thumper at the place I worked. I'd worked there for years. See, and you know what? They would never mess with me before then because I would hurt them, and I really would hurt them, you know. And then I get born again, and they think Christians are just weaklings and laid back. The very ones, they begin to taunt me and all of that, and I wanted to really just turn it on. But you know what? The new man on the inside of me wouldn't do it. He just wouldn't do it. I thought, I don't fight no more. I'm walking in love now. I don't have to have them to accept me. And you know what God did? God sent, out of 25 or 30 employees, that would happen to me at the time clock. They would taunt me and, you know, and Bible Thumper and, you know, just all kinds of stuff. But there was one lady that God sent to that place that was a salesman, and she was a real Christian. All of those were Christians. And it caused me to be like, I'm not going to be like them. I'm not going to be a Christian. They're not real to me. They're not really, something's wrong with them. They're not pursuing the Lord, or something's not right with them. Because they wouldn't be able to do me like that if they were really right in their heart. Because we have the love of God poured out in us, the Bible says, Romans 5. See, you've got a supernatural love on the inside of you, no matter where you're at. And when you yield to that love, whether you're in school or you're at work, don't yield to your emotions and feelings. They'll lie to you. I mean, they'll just lie to you. You're never going to have a good life, blah, blah, blah. Satan, that he has the power of suggestion. He throws those thoughts. That's why the Bible tells us, not just the adults, to cast down those imaginations. Cast them down. Bring them into captivity. Every thought that goes against the Bible, bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ, to the Word. I didn't care if I didn't fit in anymore. I'm anointed. I didn't care if I didn't fit in anymore. I'm right with God. It might not seem that I've got anything or going where right now, but just keep watching me. That's what I would think back there. Because I would think there's no way, according to the children of Israel and what I see in that Bible, that God won't bring me to the promised land. Do you know that God got them to the promised land? But all of those that complained and got in unbelief, in the same way today, they didn't get to partake in the promised land. But Caleb and Joshua, they kept the faith through there, and they could have got mad, probably did, upset at them. What's wrong with y'all, man? God rolled that red. I'm sure they didn't just keep their mouth shut the whole time they was in that wilderness. I'm sure they tried to encourage them to look to the Lord again. Just like you go to church or somewhere, and you're going to be encouraged. Why? Because God loves you. God wants you looking to Him. God wants you trusting in Him. God wants your heart fixed, trusting in the Lord. That way, when evil comes, it can't affect you like it can everybody else. But you know what? Caleb and Joshua got to go in and got the things that God told them. You know why? Because I believe they counted it all joy. I believe that they endured with patience. I believe that they stayed in the right spirit. I mean, it takes strong. I mean, you've got to be dedicated to this Christian life. You got to be dedicated to it, dedicated to the Lord. Be willing to do whatever. If God tells you to forgive somebody in school, forgive them. Walk up to them and say, I forgive you. I just forgive you. And they're like, I don't care if you forgive me or not. Well, then say, it gives you an opportunity. Well, it's not really between me and you. It's between me and Jesus that I serve. And He wants me to love you regardless. He wants me to forgive you regardless. And you know what? Most of the time, I've seen that people, young kids in school or whatever, they'd say, well, they'll think I'm weak then. You don't have to be a macho, macho man. I just want to be a macho man. I'm macho. And I don't fight. I ain't busted nobody's teeth out in 30 years. You know, I've not beat on my wife. I'm macho. I'm a macho, macho man. Why? It's not because I'm arrogant up here. It's because I walk in love now. I know how to forgive now. I know how to walk with the Creator now. Just like my doctor told me, he said, well, I'm going to have to do a CAT scan of your neck. He said, the other doctor did. Whatever he did, he said, looks like you're stopped up again about 50-60% over here. Well, this side's stopped up. I ain't got no blood going up there. I'm smart, ain't I? There's no blood back in there. And he said, because if that nurse stops up, he said, you'll meet your maker. I started to tell him, I'm ready, baby. But I didn't. But I just sat there and I thought, I'm not afraid of dying. See, walking with the Lord makes you not afraid of dying. You don't need to try to fit in with everybody. You're satisfied on the inside of who you are. Praise God, hallelujah. You know, and so then you walk in freedom in God. And then, you know what? God will give you friends. God will set people in your life. I've only got just a few friends. I got a lot of acquaintances, but I've only got just a few friends. And I hear people say, I ain't hardly got no friends, especially young people that serve the Lord. You will live a separated life. You will. I mean, if you really serve the Lord, that life will force you away from things that are going to harm you, that maybe you can't see. My brother split business about, I don't know, 20-something. And I had some other people got mad at me, got upset because I wouldn't go in partners with them. I said, I'm not looking for a partner. They got upset because I wouldn't go in partner. Some of them actually got mad and went, oh, boy, Scotty, he just wants it all by himself, wants all the money. Well, you know, I thought I'd rather be alone with God than in a bunch of crock all the time. I'd rather be alone with the Lord. And that's the way you ought to feel, praise God. But you know what? God will send people into your life, though, that will encourage you, like that lady that I was talking about. Sent her in there, and she would bring me little things. Blessed are the feet of those who preach the gospel and bring glad tidings of good things. Paul quoted that. She'd bring me things like that, and she'd tell me, she'd say, you just keep up the good work, Brother Scotty. She said, you're one of the real ones. She said, but you know what? They taunted her. I heard them talk about her. Who does she think she is? This Jesus, she's a Jesus freak. Well, the woman couldn't talk without talking about Jesus. And so they were calling her a Jesus freak to everybody, you know. I mean, I've had people to tell me, can't you talk about anything other than the Lord? And I say, there ain't nothing out here really worth talking about without him. I tried it without him. You know, I tried living without him. And so now I've got in love with him, and he's the best thing ever happened to me. Is when I got born again, he brought my life back and put my life on track and put me on a good path. Why would I not want to talk about somebody like that? I mean, if Donald Trump sends me $1 million, I'm going to talk about him. Man, yeah. Trump is a good, godly guy. I believe he is. If he ain't, he's getting saved now. I got $1 million. And you'll hear me the next one. Trump did it, boy. Oh, he's been trumping all along. Hope you're listening, Trump. It's funny now. Praise God. But it says, count it all joy. But let endurance have its work. So you got to, I mean, y'all kids in school, young ladies, young men, and Aubrey now, it don't make no difference. Grandma done got them now going to school. What we going to pray for today, baby? Who we going to pray for on the way to school? She's got to ask the question. And then when she thinks, she said, well, let's pray Papa have a good day. What is she doing? She's getting that baby at 7 years old, mindful of the Lord, mindful. Why? Doing it on purpose. You know, to where all she's going to know is this Jesus. All she's going to know is God. All she's going to know is God working and doing things and healing her. She tells me now, Papa, I'll pray for me. My throat's a little scratchy. I'm like, yes! You know, Indians do rain dances. I want to do a Holy Ghost dance when that happens. I worked on her 2 or 3 years, and she didn't want nothing to do with none of this. But you know what? She's coming around, praise God. Why? Because I'm letting patience have its perfect work. I'm standing on the Word of God, that His Word don't return void, and whatever I live out before her and Aiden, praise God, going to affect them just like it did Travis. And I've had one guy tell me one time, what do you think, you're a perfect dad? I said, I believe I've done a pretty darn good job. I said, I led him to Jesus his whole life. I said, no, I've not been perfect as a man in the flesh. I could have lived a lot better life before him, bless God, but I turned him on to somebody that'll impact his life forever. I count you as a pretty good man or woman that does that. A strong one, praise God. But I want to encourage you, because Tricia told me we're not doing praise and worship. We should be home by 8 o'clock. I told her, I said, no, man. I said, that gives me an hour and a half to preach. I ain't looking for no reason to get off early because they didn't show up to do praise and worship. I don't think so. We going a little longer, man. I need an hour and a half. Praise God. So I want to encourage you, you know, when testing comes, you know, and don't look down on your elderly, you know. I mean, we've been through a lot. We've experienced a lot. We've seen a lot, you know, and everything. And especially those that are right with the Lord, they're not going to steer you so you don't have fun. They're not doing that. They see the danger signs that maybe you don't see. They see things that they've seen affect people that they're trying to give you to get you not to go down that road so you don't have to experience a bad life. Serving Jesus is the best thing you'll ever do. Giving your heart to Jesus is the best day of the rest of your life, praise God. And I say that out of experience and out of love, praise the Lord. Because, you know, just like, you know, faith is a supernatural force, and you do not have it till you give your heart to Jesus. But once you get that supernatural force, the Bible says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, use that faith, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. Puts you in a place of power. Let's bow our heads. Father, I praise you.